Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Titans Monday, Titans winners at the Texans yesterday in what I thought was incredible and improbable fashion. And I would argue this was probably the best Titans win maybe over the last 2 years, in all seriousness. So, with that, is Will Levis keeping his job? Because the last 3 weeks, Will Levis has actually looked like a legitimate quarterback. By the way, Ian, I would like to take credit, if I'm allowed to.
Probably not.
For the fact that after the Charger game, remember Levis got sacked 8 times and everybody said, oh, he's holding on the ball too long. He sucks. He's not. I was like, guys, this Charger game was the best game he's played all year. Like, I was proud of him in the Charger game. And everybody was talking about bad, he sucks and this and that. And I'm like, he didn't turn the ball over. He had a quarterback rating of 127. He this, he that. And now all of a sudden, Ian, everybody said over the last 3 games, including the Charger game, they didn't give him credit for the Charger game. When the Charger game happened, I gave him credit for the Charger game.
Sure.
Remember PK getting all mad about how I said Brian Callahan should pump those tires? Yeah. But again, back to the original question. Is he keeping his job at quarterback? Jury's still out. It's too early to tell. But I kind of hope he doesn't. And I know. Jerry just won the game, and he's improving. And if he's our guy and he proves he's the guy by the end of the year, then you don't have to go looking for Shedeur Sanders. Then you don't have to go try to reclimate Daniel Jones or bring in Justin Fields. So, I mean, why are you hoping Levis is not the guy, Jared? The reason I say this, it's not because he can't get better and prove to us by the end of the year that he deserves to be the guy or not. It's because I'm not really convinced Levis was great yesterday. Like, I think for a second we have to be honest. Was he good yesterday? He threw a pick six. A terrible pick six. Good quarterbacks throw pick sixes occasionally. Will Levis throws pick sixes regularly. And I know technically he gets credited with a game-winning drive and a fourth-quarter comeback, but he didn't really lead a big-time drive to win the game. It's not like if Fairbairn hits the 28-yarder and the Texans kick off to the Titans and Levis hits Chig for 18 and then he, you know, hands off to Pollard who gains 6, call timeout, then they throw one over the middle to Ridley for 20, and then he sets one up to NWI, and now here comes Folk, and he makes the game winner. It wasn't that kind of fourth quarter comeback game winning drop. He took 8 sacks yesterday, and a lot of them, I believe, were on him. And some of those I heard Callahan say today, you know, when he was running back up, were moments where Callahan said, do not take a sack and do not lose yardage. So he's in the pocket, feels it collapsing, and then he runs back up. There was one where he missed a wide open Calvin Ridley, and I actually thought that J.C. Latham was the problem because I think he felt like Latham being pushed back by either Anderson or Hunter, and like he didn't want to try to bring the ball around in fear that they'd sack it. So they're not all on him. But I did think of the 8 sacks. I did think 4 or 5 of them probably were credited to Levis. And again, good quarterbacks don't throw pick sixes consistently. And he threw one yesterday. He threw a killer yesterday. He threw the kind of pick six that's like, do not throw that. But he is better than he was at the beginning of the year. Excuse me.
Bless you.
Thank you. He is absolutely a better quarterback than when he got hurt in the Miami game and the, I think, just tragic performance against Indianapolis. He is better. So I'm a little conflicted. And I will say this. Again, while he's gotten better, I still don't know if that better is good enough. That's the problem that I have. And the one thing I don't subscribe to, while I do think that winning and losing is a quarterback stat over time, I don't think that just because he won the game, all of a sudden, all of the issues that they may have no longer exist. I don't think that just because they won the game, for instance, that Nicholas Petitfrere, a.k.a.
PT.
I don't think that just because they won the game, all of a sudden PT is a starting right tackle in the NFL. I don't think because they won the game, Chig had a fabulous touchdown yesterday. But I don't all of a sudden think that Chig Okonkwo is the man. And yet there are probably some people that think that. You know what's amazing about Chig? And I tweeted this out yesterday. Chig goes about 85 snaps in between good, positive, meaningful plays. You know, he makes that touchdown grab against the Chicago Bears in week one. An incredible touchdown grab. And then we don't see or hear for Chig for another 9 weeks. Then all of a sudden, Chig catches a ball, runs up the field with it for 70 yards and a touchdown. And it's like, hey, Chig! And the CBS broadcasters are like, why don't they throw the ball to Chig more often? It's like, because he doesn't do that very often. Catching it is hard enough for him. So when it comes to Chig, again, it's like, am I really a believer that Chig is the man because they won the game yesterday? NWI is a different story. NWI has been doing this for 2 months. Every game he catches a touchdown pass. At some point you have to say, that's what he is. Again, I don't think he's a touchdown a game guy. But I do think we can say NWI is a starting receiver right now. At least he's playing like it. So just because they won the game yesterday doesn't make me think that all the things Levis did, whether it was take 8 sacks, 5 or so of which were probably on him, throw a pick 6, which is inexcusable. Adam Vingan texted me earlier today when I said we couldn't give Tony Pollard a game ball because he fumbled in plus territory, and Adam said actually the fumble was credited to Levis. So that's 2 turnovers.
Yeah, that was a fumbled exchange there.
Again, those are the things that get you beat. They didn't get you beat yesterday for whatever reason, and I'm still not sure I totally understand. I mean, again, I have never seen an 80-yard kickoff return, a fumble in plus territory, a pick 6, 8 sacks, and you still win. But those are the kind of plays that get you beat, and he committed them yesterday. So because of that, I have a hard time just saying just because they won the game yesterday and because he's throwing the ball down the field, which he wasn't doing earlier in the year. The one thing I'll say about Levis is he is a tough SOB, man. He gets up off the deck, and it does not affect him. And I will give him credit. Joe Burrow does that, and not a lot of other quarterbacks can do that. And I'll give him some credit because he didn't care about taking licks yesterday. But we're talking about whether or not the guy deserves to be the starting quarterback of the Tennessee Titans. And those are 2 different things. So while the arrow is trending up, I'd argue after the Miami game and the Indy game where he threw 95 yards for that game, there was nowhere to go but up. But I still don't think we're kind of in the ballpark of talking about starting next year. Now, Tim Hasselbeck was on the Midday Show last week, and he said, he's gotten better, but when I say, you know, I think Tim said he's not entering camp next year as the true starter. And I wonder tomorrow when Tim goes on the Midday Show if he'll say the same thing. But I'm not ready to commit to Levis for the starting job next year. I'm not even really ready to entertain it for next year because I'm still not convinced he played a very good game. Even though they won. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number, 615-737-1025 here on the program. And again, talk about getting too caught up in Levis's performance. I saw something today that I was like, wait a minute, what? Like, Did we watch the same game? We'll get to that next. It's Stillman and Company on 102.5 The Game. Let's talk Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. I love Hiller. They take great care of my home. They were at my home last week. And Hiller's Cash for the Holidays promotion is back. And they're giving away cash for the holidays with select purchases, like a $500 Visa gift card when you buy select new HVAC systems or a new whole home generator. Get a $250 Visa gift card when you buy a new tankless water heater. And these deals are only available until the end of the year, so schedule today by visiting happyhiller.com. Take advantage of Hiller's $99 drain cleaning special this month, too. There's no better time to take care of your home before the holiday guests arrive, and I'm sure they're coming soon. That's Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Proud supporters of the Preds, the Vols, and Vandy. Hiller, call the Happy Face Truck today.
And again, Petrie's out with that shoulder injury. Sustained in the first half. Levis has it intercepted! Jimmy Ward! He could go the whole way. He's got Levis to beat. Into the end zone. Touchdown, Texans! The game has flipped.
What a two-play sequence for Jimmy Ward here. He's going to be inside. We talked about it a lot this second half, taking over for Petrie in that nickel position. And he's able to just confuse. Watch right here. Watch him come off the ball. And Levis never sees him. And Jimmy Ward just steps into throwing lane. He's got his eyes on Levis the entire time. And that's an easy of a pick six as he's ever had.
And that's exactly what Levis has avoided the last couple weeks. The disastrous turnover. He threw it right to him. You said he didn't see him, Jay. I don't know how he didn't see him.
Ian, what'd you think when he threw a pick six?
I mean, I wish I could say it was super surprising, you know, or whatever. But, hey, just kind of comes with the territory with Levis, I guess.
I saw the pick six and I thought, oh, there they go.
Here we go.
Oh, there they go. I mean, he was having a good game. And it was a close game, and they were winning, and everything was, oh, there to go, there to go. So I will give them credit, because that game did not tank them. Whereas some of the games in the past, you know, that has tanked them, like the Chicago game. But I saw a poll today. Was yesterday Will Levis's best performance as a Titan? And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. He took 8 sacks, 5 of which were probably on him. And he threw a pick six. Best performance? He was a perfect passer against the Atlanta Falcons last year. He, Mariota, and Fran Tarkenton are the only quarterbacks to throw 4 touchdowns and no picks in their debuts. This game yesterday was not better than the Atlanta game. Was it encouraging yesterday? Sure. But best performance? Crazy. Again, sometimes unless it's like Ryan Tannehill in 2019 playoffs, and even then, sometimes I just think people don't care how the quarterback plays as long as they win. 4 interceptions, 2 pick sixes, but the quarterback sets the team in range to score a game-winning field goal and win 17-14 in spite of the 14 points that were scored off of 2 pick sixes. Great job, quarterback! Levis had his good moments yesterday, but he also had his bad. Numerous bad moments yesterday during the game. And those are the things that if he's going to be a starting quarterback in the NFL, not if he's going to be the 4th best quarterback or a quarterback on a bad team. But if Levis is going to be a starting quarterback in the NFL, those are things that can't happen. Well, Jared, Tom Brady threw pick sixes. Yeah, like one a year. Again, you're trying to tell me this was his best? Come on now. He threw for 278 yards in the NFL. At some point, in order to say, like, hey, this guy, he's the man, trust me on this, he's probably going to need to crack 300 yards. But everybody else is like, he won, so who cares? They won the game, Jared. Who cares? Well, again, we're trying to evaluate whether or not he should be the guy. I've got to tell you, again, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer here, because it is the holidays now. I don't want to be a Debbie Downer here, but I am going to keep it real. We're trying to evaluate, again, should he be a starting quarterback next season? Well, I can't tell you how many, if he's going to throw a pick six every game, even if they win, they're not going to win a lot of games the rest of the year. So we're going to have to be able to evaluate them when they don't win. Like the Charger game, where I thought he played well and everybody said they sucked. What was the difference? They lost. That was the difference. Took 8 sacks in both games. Didn't throw an interception in the Charger game. He actually had a higher quarterback rating, I believe 127 to 124 yesterday in the Charger game. And I'm the one who got criticized for saying he played well in the Charger game. So no, like it was not his best performance. And those little things, again, not the end of the world because you won yesterday. And the throw to NWI, beautiful. Some of those throws to Ridley, it looks like they're getting there. Gets himself up off the deck. I appreciate that. But we can't just forget about the bad things and say, oh, well, it doesn't matter because they won. That would be like saying if Tannehill threw 3 interceptions, but somehow Joe Burrow got intercepted on that drive that led to the McPherson field goal and the Randy Bullock makes field goal. And I say, Tannehill played great. Whoa now. But hey, they won. Let's go to Brig. Is it Brig? Phone line driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Brig in the Borough is up next. Go ahead, Brig.
Hey, Jared. Appreciate you taking my call, buddy. Hey, I just want to make a couple comments, and I'll listen to y'all off air. You know, we're talking about looking for another quarterback possibly in the draft, and I'm all for the trying to find another quarterback and have one in the tank just in case we need to fall back on. But I've been watching this team ever since the Liberty Bowl days, and I've slowly, like a lot of others, as I used to go, Tide's coming on at 12 o'clock. I got to be there quick. Got to be home. I'm slowly not at that enthusiasm anymore because of what I've seen in this team. And, you know, when you look at the four, I know we always look at that, we got to find that 20% quarterback in the draft. And I know that's hard, those Peyton Mannings and Andrew Lux and Brady's. But when you think about it, we haven't had almost a 20% quarterback since Steve McNair.
What is a 20% quarterback?
Yeah, that 20%
quarterback.
What is that?
What are you talking about?
You know, finding that in the draft, usually to find an elite quarterback like the Brady, you said that's only like 20%, less than 20% of those type of quarterbacks are usually picked
in
the
draft. So a franchise quarterback.
Yes. And I think about maybe, you know, Steve McNair was in that category, but ever since 20 years ago, Steve McNair, we've not even had a 30 or 40% quarterback, from Rusty Smith to Matt Hasselbeck to Brian Fitzgerald, Zach Mittenberger, Jay Locker. We cannot find that at least 40% quarterback, and that's what I'm really frustrated on.
I will tell you that Ryan Tannehill, thank you for the call break, Ryan Tannehill was a 40% quarterback. You know, again, there's elite quarterback, and Steve McNair, McNair was never – and as a Titan fan, we didn't care. But McNair never had the numbers that Favre, Manning, Brady, Gannon, you know, those guys. He never had those kind of stats. But he did win an MVP. You know, people will tell you McNair was probably closer to Trent Green than he was to Kurt Warner. But McNair did go to the Pro Bowl a couple of times, and McNair did win an MVP. So I'll give you that. McNair was a franchise quarterback. You won playoff games with him. He was an MVP. He finished in the top 3 in 2002. Like, McNair was legit. But, you know, Tannehill was a step below that. Went to the Pro Bowl in 2019. Was the quarterback of the number 2 rated offense in the NFL in 2020. Tannehill was a step below that. So let's not just totally discredit everything Tannehill did here. But I hear what you're saying about finding, you know, the guy. That's what this is all about for everybody. It's about, can you find the guy? That's the job. It's, is he the guy? Is he not the guy? And again, you know, you talk about, well, I'm not excited to watch Titans until we get that kind of guy. Well, the rest of this year, you probably won't have it unless Levis becomes it. But I'm not as optimistic as everybody else that Levis will become it, so let's just keep that one kind of in the back pocket. More of your phone, 615-737-1025. We continue on a Titans Monday, a victory Monday, 1025-1063 The Game.
Last three drives, 13 plays, minus one total yards for the Titans, and the pick six. Okonkwo, he's got some inside Texans territory, inside the 35, 30, 25, 20. He may go. Stiff arm, end zone. Touchdown, Titans. Chig Okonkwo. Not only did he get into the open field, but he showed explosiveness on a 70-yard touchdown reception.
Been waiting for this all game. You're going to see right here, all he's going to do is just drag right across and get a matchup with the linebackers. Nobody stays with him. He's wide open, and then he has the ability, the game-breaking speed, to be able to bust it open. It's the play I've been waiting on for this offense to put run all game.
I mean, it's the play I've been waiting for him to run. The one to Chig. I do have to give Brian Callahan credit on that. That was a great play call. You know, and that's the thing. Levis threw for 270 yards, 70 on that to Chig. Just a little pitch and catch. Chig took it to the house. One catch for Chig, by the way. Don't look for him to make another important catch the rest of the year. He's made two. The Chicago Bears game and this one, he is maxed out for the year. He might have one more big catch left in him. Let's go to the phones as promised. Dave in Mount Juliet has been waiting patiently here on a Titans Monday. Dave, go ahead.
Hey, Jared. How are you today?
Good.
Good. Hey, so I just wanted to say one thing. I'm not a Will Levis fan. In fact, I don't like Will Levis. I didn't like him coming out of Kentucky. I thought he was an average at best college quarterback, and so I didn't like that we drafted him. That being said, I am encouraged in what I'm seeing because – yes, Will Levis had an incredible day yesterday, and he did it without an offensive line, probably the worst offensive line in the league, does not have a quality tight end, and, you know, a lot of a first-time play caller. So I think we have to be encouraged. And do I need to remind you what Malik Willis did? I mean, just saying, what if Will Levis had a good team around him? That's all I had to say.
No, I appreciate your call. I don't completely disagree with that. And I think that, you know, I don't know what happened to the Texans' offensive line. Again, I think that it is moving Tyus Howard back to right tackle from left guard with Tunsil. And, again, I couldn't tell you because the Texans' offensive line, I mean, Jeffrey Simmons and Tavondre Sweat, and, yeah, I'm going to give Sweat his credit. They ate that Texans' offensive line for breakfast. But the Texans... I mean, Pro Football Focus said the Texans' offensive line was one or two teams above the Titans going into this game. And that wasn't the Texans' offensive line I remember from last year. But the point I guess I'm making is, last year, C.J. Stroud had Dalton Schultz, had Devin Singletary, had Robert Woods, Tank Dell, Nico Collins. Now, again, he's got all those guys right now, and I don't know why it didn't look the same. But he was, for some reason, it was better last year. And Stroud was better. The protection. Significantly better. And Stroud was better. And now, the protection's terrible. I mean, go read John McClain's tweets during the game. I mean, he was getting worked up about how bad Bobby Slowick's offense was, and I didn't think Bobby Slowick should be the coach of the Titans, so what do I know? But about how bad Bobby Slowick is, and how bad the passing game was, and how bad the Texans are, And again, I don't think Stroud got significantly worse, but something's not right. Maybe it was the film that they had on Bobby Slowick running that offense that they said, okay, now we know how to game plan against him. Levis on a good team probably is a much better quarterback. So that is something at least to keep in mind. I'm not going to discredit. I've been saying that forever. Because again, PT played his best game of the year on Sunday. Played his best game of the year. He still sucks.
Good for PT.
Boy, I saw the one in live time when PT got out there on that 110-pound guy and just lit up Tiny Tim out there. I mean, I saw that. I was watching the game, saw it in live time. Said, good block, PT!
Sounded like Latham was having some little bit of issue with the speed rush from Hunter at times, but...
Yeah, well, Anderson was the one that was getting to Latham, but Latham couldn't pass protect. Yesterday. Also, it should be noted that I saw, according to Seth Walder at ESPN, you know, the passrushwinrate.com stat, whatever. Apparently, Danielle Hunter was number two in the entire NFL yesterday. Excuse me.
Bless you.
I maybe got out.
The rain's coming.
You think that's what it is? Who knows? Yep. Let's go to Brandon, who's up next here on the Texans. Brandon, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, Jared. Thanks for taking my call. Perfect segue into this. I was texting my family that are in Houston during the game yesterday, and I'll just read you some of these text messages from them. First text message says, fire Bobby Slowick. Second one, C.J. Stroud looks broken. He's been bad all year. Should have waited for Caleb Williams and drafted an offensive lineman. How do you evaluate these guys? I just want to hear some of these thoughts. Sounds like you started talking about it already. Says that he throws the ball 5 yards too short of his receivers and doesn't trust them. I mean, they were going off yesterday. I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Yeah, so before the draft, and granted this isn't, because I think Stroud's pretty good. But before the draft, I had a doozy of a take. If you remember, I was not a C.J. Stroud guy. I loved Anthony Richardson. And I didn't see how Anthony Richardson scored 6 points yesterday, but apparently he only scored 6 points yesterday. But I loved Anthony Richardson. Was okay with Bryce Young. Didn't have any serious problem with Young, but I wasn't infatuated with him. And I liked Levis. Wasn't a huge Stroud guy. And the thing I thought about C.J. Stroud was I felt like C.J. Stroud reminded me too much of Marcus Mariota. You know, Marcus Mariota at Oregon, everything in that offense was wide open. Mariota, it was easy. He was just more athletic, more gifted. I mean, Mariota was a first-round prospect, make no doubt about it. You know, 6'3", 210 pounds, had a good, I was going to say good arm, decent enough arm, Heisman Trophy winner, great athlete. Mariota was a slam-dunk first-round quarterback prospect. Now, that doesn't mean when I say he's a slam dunk prospect, doesn't mean that he was going to be a slam dunk quarterback. But again, as a prospect, there was no questioning his first round credentials. It's like Drake May. I have no idea if Drake May will be any good or not. But Drake May absolutely is a first round prospect. So, I just kept seeing Mariota when it came to C.J. Stroud. And I didn't know exactly why. And yesterday, watching the game, I thought both interceptions from Stroud were inexcusable. Then he runs out of the back of the end zone at the end of the game. Like, throw the ball. His regression from what I saw out of C.J. Stroud last year, out of what I saw out of C.J. Stroud yesterday, kind of reminded me of Mariota. Remember Mariota's second year? Forget the first year. That was a gong show. Mariota's second year, 26 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, lit it up. Second year, I believe, was something like 13 and 15. And clearly, he had taken a step back. Now, they won a playoff game with Mariota at quarterback, but that was a playoff game in which he threw a touchdown pass to himself. Mariota wasn't the same guy. Mariota was never that same guy again. And I'm not saying that's going to be the case with Stroud. But I did see a Mariota-like performance yesterday. I mean, that interception on the ball where he and Mechie weren't on the same page, that is inexcusable for an NFL quarterback to throw. Well, Jared, there was a miscommunication. Right. You're the quarterback. You need to get on the right page with your receivers. That's your fault. You're the quarterback. They don't put an interception in John Mechie's category. They put it in yours. I thought that was inexcusable. And then the ball for Murray, like, no offense to Kenneth Murray, who's done a nice job. It was a good pickup by the Titans. But Kenneth Murray is by no means, and again, I don't want to sound rude here, but by no means, in my opinion, is Kenneth Murray, like, any sort of great inside coverage backer. So that I struggled with a little bit from Stroud as well. One texter says, would you elaborate on the Levis might be too stupid to play in the NFL comment you made before halftime yesterday? Yes, I would, texter. So right before halftime, the Titans, and I believe it was off of one of the Stroud interceptions, I think the ball for Mechie, Levis had the ball first and 10 at the Houston 20. And this was with 37 seconds to go. And Will Levis got sacked on 3rd and 18 for a loss of 10 yards. Now, Nick Folk came out and drilled a 56-yarder, which I don't think anybody on the planet thought he was capable of making. Not even Willie Donick. He came out and drilled a 56-yard kick. But before he made it, I said to myself, I mean, you can't take that sack. You went from a 46-yard kick with a kicker who's going to make a 46-yard kick indoors to a 56-yard kicker or to a 56-yard kick with a 40-year-old kicker. You cannot take that sack. Well, Jared, he had 1 second to throw the ball, and they were trying to set up a screen. You dirt it. Those are things I shouldn't be telling Will Levis at this point. Now, again, it worked out because Folk hit the field goal, bailed him out. But, Ian, if Folk had been 2 yards short on a 56-yard kick, would you have held that against Folk? Don't think you could. So, again, that's what I meant. And there are too many moments like that with Will Levis, even though he's getting better and not rolling the ball on the ground, where he does things that, I hate to say it, are too stupid that you cannot do consistently to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. And that's exactly what I meant by that. 615-737-1025. I guess that sounded a little negative, but there is a negative angle to the Titans that I don't even know what to say at this point. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, 102.5 The Game.
He was signed this past year by the Titans. He bought his mom the house here in Houston. And a fumble by the Titans. It'll be recovered by the Texans. Jackson came running up. The ball spun off his right hip. And the Texans jumped on top of it. At least that's the initial indication. There's a lot of fighting going on the pile.
You got to be kidding me with these Titans special teams.
I love Ross Tucker. You got to be kidding me with these Titans special teams. We got to hit the negative here for a second. Colt Anderson's got to go. He's got to go. I mean, again, he won't be fired today, and he'll be the special teams coach next week because they won the game. Nobody gets fired after you win, I don't think. But if anybody was ever going to get fired after you win, it's him. Did you hear after the onside kick, which I guess NWI, you know, it would have been nice if he had brought that in. Talk about, hey, Ran, that ball bounced your way out of bounds on the onside kick. But did you hear the CBS broadcasters when they said, boy, the person who's probably breathing the easiest is Colt Anderson, the Titans special teams coach. It's like, yeah, because he's only had enough go wrong this season and today. Outside of kicking, when it comes to the special teams, it's every single phase. And it feels like not only is it every single phase, it feels like it's every single phase in every game. I've never seen a team more maligned and special teams in my life. And I've watched Craig Aukerman coach them for the last 7 years. And it's not because, you know, well, Brownlee can't play as much special teams anymore because other teams in the NFL have injuries too. And they don't allow 80-yard kickoffs right up the middle. It's because, for whatever reason, there's either zero structure, zero accountability. Like, I don't know the first thing about coaching special teams. Now, I used to do the show with somebody who was a special teams guru. And I would say what I'm seeing from Colt Anderson and these special teams, at this point, he's coaching it and he's allowing it to happen. I have never seen such ineptitude in my life out of a special teams unit. And I watched the 2015 Titans with Ken Wisenhunt throw Doriel Green Beckham out there on the punt team, give up a game-winning touchdown to the Cleveland Browns, only to hear the head coach say, yeah, I didn't know if he could do it or not. We put him out there. And this is worse. And I heard Brian Callahan today. He was talking about, well, you know, we had some mistakes early in the season and we fixed them, just like we've had mistakes on offense and we fixed them, just like we've had mistakes on defense and we fixed them. It ain't the same. And I cannot imagine what was going through Brian Callahan's mind when that opening kickoff went 80 yards to start the game. I mean, this is the Houston Texans. Again, I don't care about the Texans. I don't view the Texans any different than I view pretty much anybody else in the AFC. They're not Baltimore to me. But the owner was wearing a Houston Oiler belt buckle yesterday. As Jeffrey Simmons said, she had tears in her eyes after they won the game in the locker room. So I can't imagine that opening kickoff goes 80 yards up the field. They score on one play. And I can't imagine Callahan not hearing Miss Amy on the headset saying, why is he still coaching special teams? And I can promise you this. Colt Anderson's getting fired at the end of the year. They don't have anybody on the staff to take over, so they really don't want to do it. So what I think they're doing is like they're biding their time until the end of the year. Then they'll fire Colt Anderson at the end of the year, and they'll hire an experienced special teams coach, and Callahan can just farm that out and not worry about it, which is what he should have done from the beginning. And he could have just kept the guy he already had in Tom Quinn, and he wouldn't have had to worry about any of that, but that's his business. But again, congratulations on the win. It does not change reality that Colt Anderson has got to go. Got to go. One texter says, one good thing about the Titans win was Callahan didn't dress up or acted like a snake oil salesman, unlike the last coach. Vrabel never acted like a snake oil salesman. I think Vrabel was a straight shooter. But Vrabel would have gone up to the podium after the game yesterday, and he would have talked about how you guys never gave it. Well, I don't know if he would have done that. Vrabel was not a snake oil salesman. He was just an a-hole. There's a difference between the two. A snake oil salesman tells you things like, you know, we checked every box on offense, meet our right tackle, PT. That's a little difference. Michael says, how do you feel about Jeffrey Simmons' play the last few weeks? Again, I don't know how Simmons played last week off the top of my head, but I'll say this about Simmons. Ian, what is the one prerequisite in my life? You've been listening to the show long enough, doing the show long enough. What is the prerequisite for me, for you, to be able to talk the talk?
We got to walk the walk.
You got to walk the walk. And yesterday, Jeffrey Simmons played, he was best player on the field. He played like a superstar. Now, granted, some of that is because the Texans' offensive line, for whatever reason, is complete ass cheeks. You know, he dominated the Patriots. And I kept saying, guys, Pro Football Focus ranks your offensive line 31st. They ranked the Patriots 32nd. So there is something to that. Again, I'm trying to think what happened last week against the Vikings. I can't, off the top of my head, think about anything special Simmons did or didn't do. But
they played well. One, they've been playing well against the run. I'll give them that. It's hard to run on the Titans still right now.
Nobody runs on the Tennessee Titans.
And so they might give up some big plays here and there. But overall, consistently, you could see even early in the game, they tried to run with Mixon. And Mixon had a great game the week before.
How about the big boy, Tavondre Sweat, getting a sack?
Yeah, finally. He got one.
I mean, I was...
You know, it's going
to... very...
I think it's fair to expect the rookie to take a few weeks to get a feel for everything. And so...
Well, I mean, C.J. Stroud ran into him.
Well, I'm just saying. Like, you know, I think it's fair to see how he does here as the season progresses with the pass rush.
You think he'll get another sack this year?
Yeah. I think he's good for one more. You got, you know, I don't know. I think they said maybe Trevor Lawrence will be back to practice. Might be tough this week against Jaden Daniels, but they probably, I wonder if they played against each other last year.
If I bet you $500 on another sack, if he gets another sack, I pay you $500. If he doesn't get another sack, no. If he gets another sack, yeah. If he doesn't get another sack, you pay me $500. Mm-hmm. Would you take that?
Probably not $500, no.
But... maybe I will 100. Say this. Sweat played well. Sweat played well. And congratulations to Sweat on getting his first sack. I got no problem with that. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number, 615-737-1025. What we saw yesterday, I have never seen in my entire life. In fact, it's funny because some of the, you know, going back in the Wayback Machine to find when the last time some of these things happened takes it back before I was even born. I saw a TD had a tweet yesterday in which Will Levis has become the second quarterback since Randall Cunningham in 1986 to be sacked seven times or more in one half multiple times. It's like, my goodness. And yet, it also kind of tells the story of the Titans season. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, 102.5 The Game.